From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, September 24th, 2024. In other words, it's 9/24/24. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And by the way, he also accepts contributions from crabby people, too.
Staggers the imagination.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I didn't know that.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Oh, boy.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Well, all right, then.
You might be quizzed.
Oh, nobody believes that anymore. Come on. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1929, Jimmy Doolittle, future war hero, performed the first flight without a window, proving that full instrument flying from takeoff to landing is possible. Possible, but not advisable unless you really know what you're doing. And on this day in 1948, the Honda Motor Company was founded by Soshiro Honda, a kid who just wanted to build affordable, dependable motorbikes. He had a friend who handled the business end of things, and while Soshiro built bikes, then cars, then bigger cars, and lawnmowers, generators, jet planes, you get the idea. And he made everybody rich in the process.
If you can find a better car, buy it.
Maybe this shouldn't be all that surprising, but the big endorsements from Democrats keep arriving. I'm talking about big endorsements for Donald Trump. News just broke that Amir Ghalib, he's an Arab-American Muslim mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan. That's just on the north side of Detroit. And he won his election for mayor with a whopping 68% of the vote, has officially endorsed Donald Trump for president. Imagine that. Somebody calling himself George tweeted, breaking. The Democrat mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan, Amir Ghalib, just officially endorsed Trump after he said Trump promised him he'll end the wars in the Middle East as president. His endorsement will give Trump tens of thousands of new voters in Michigan and other states. Now, the mayor made the announcement via Facebook just, during the late hours of the weekend, I guess it was, and he made clear that while he doesn't agree on every point with President Trump, he believes Trump is a man of principle and the right man for the job. Let's read the post. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be clear so our expectations are realistic. President Trump and I may not agree on everything, but I know he's a man of principles. Though it's looking good, he may or may not win the election and be the 47th president of the United States. But I believe he's the right choice for this critical time. I'll not regret my decision no matter what the outcome would be, and I'm ready to face the consequences. For this and for many other reasons, I announce my support and endorsement for the former and hopefully the next president of the United States, Donald Trump. Now let the caravan begin its journey. This is just the starting point. And then he signed it, Amir Ghalib, Hamtramck City Mayor. Wow. Thought that was interesting, too, that line. I'll not regret my decision no matter what the outcome would be, and I'm ready to face the consequences. Sounds like he's throwing down the gauntlet. And according to the Detroit Free Press, which is the big newspaper up there, in fact, I think it's the only newspaper in Detroit, article from 3 days ago, Ghalib met with Trump just prior to a town hall meeting event in Flint. Now, that meeting took... When did that happen? That was a big town hall meeting in Flint. I think it was last Thursday. Anyhow, Ghalib told the Free Press it was a productive meeting in Flint of about 20 minutes and that Trump asked for his endorsement. Ghalib said he told Trump, I'm here to talk about that and how we can make it happen. The mayor said he then handed him an official letter with some details about concerns and to invite him to come to Hamtramck if possible. Ghalib said that Trump knew a lot about me prior to the meeting. He says we talked about various topics, including the debates, the polls updates, the statistics of votes in Michigan and Wayne County, the Arab American concerns, and the Yemeni Americans in particular, which Mayor Ghalib is. Now, Hamtramck has the second highest percentage of Arab American residents in Michigan, right after Dearborn, and also a growing Bangladeshi American population, and the mayor and all six members of the Hamtramck City Council are Muslim, the only all-Muslim city council in the U.S. So Ghalib appeared to receive positive response from Arab Americans to his meeting with Trump. I mean, come on. This would stand to reason, don't you think? Arab Americans right now are very unhappy with the way things in the Middle East are going. Yeah, believe it or not, the majority of Arab Americans want peace in the Middle East. And that includes peace between Arabs and Israelis. So just exactly what is Hamtramck, Michigan? The spelling will throw you off. It's Hamtramck. Doesn't exactly flow out of the mouth, but it's been an industrial city for most of its history. It's a city of about 28,000 people. And as the Detroit Free Press article points out, the only all-Muslim city council in the United States. And it's truly a suburb. It's on the immediate north side of Detroit. Could be a sign of shifting sentiments among immigrant communities, too. Legalized immigrants. Let me emphasize that. Here in the States, when it comes to the ballot box. A fellow by the name of Ubay Shabandar tweeted the following. He says, Amir Ghalib, a physician, Yemeni-American mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan, just met with President Trump during the Flint Town Hall. The Biden-Harris war party is hemorrhaging support in Muslim-majority areas in the Detroit metro region because of misguided policies. Now, that says a lot right there. The Biden-Harris war party is hemorrhaging support in Muslim-majority areas in the Detroit metro region because of misguided policies. Now, speaking about my home turf, Houston, there is a large Muslim American community in Houston, particularly in the southwest side and then into outside Harris County, into Fort Bend County, a growing Muslim American population in Fort Bend County. Lots of mosques over there. And I had as neighbors some Muslim Americans when I was living in Sugar Land. Nice people, too. Nice people. In fact, I believe a Muslim American is serving as one of the precinct constables out there in Fort Bend County. So, you know, these people are assimilating the American lifestyle, and they have the same concerns. They're sick and tired of all this war in the Middle East, and they want it taken care of. They want peace to be negotiated rather than fought for. Negotiated and agreed upon. And we've been trying to do that over there for, what, 50, 60 years or more? Certainly during most of the post-World War II era, there have been attempts to secure peace in the Middle East, all of them failing. And, you know, a lot of people, including me, we blame Jimmy Carter for the death of Anwar Sadat, who was the president of Egypt at the time. Sadat being assassinated. So I always look at this, at our efforts to secure peace in warring areas around the globe as American interference. And I know that's unfair because there are a lot of great intentions with very interesting roots when it comes to our attempts to secure peace in the world. And you can go right back to World War II. Look at how many German Americans fought against the Nazis in World War II. And a good many of them lost their lives in the effort. But we ended up winning. We won that war. And same thing true with the Japanese Americans. Unfortunately, there was the internment of Japanese Americans in, well, let's call them what they were, internment camps, concentration camps, in very desolate areas of the country, Manzanar being the most notorious of them. Were there atrocities in the camps? No, not really, no. They weren't those kinds of camps. But the fact that we would take Japanese Americans, a good many of them who were born here in the United States, and shuttle them off to camps after Pearl Harbor and confiscate their belongings in the process. And there was no restitution of any kind made for that until the Reagan administration. But, you know, here again, we keep talking about the road to hell being paved with good intentions. The intentions are there. So along comes Donald Trump, and he promises that he's going to end this war in the Middle East. Well, he didn't start any new wars during his 3 years in office. In fact, even that fourth year that was taken away from him by the pandemic, there were no new wars started. So can we take Donald Trump at his word? Well, I say, yeah, but show me. Okay, I'll take a little bit of Missouri culture and say, show me. Now, Ghalib's endorsement of Trump is important for several reasons. First and foremost, it challenges the notion that all Arab Americans are staunch Democrats. They are not. Same thing with Indian Americans. There are a lot of Indian Americans who are serving in public office, for instance, in Fort Bend County, Texas, where I just moved away from back in March. And they run as Democrats, but they're not all Democrats. So this highlights the complexity of political affiliations, period. Additionally, Ghalib's endorsement could potentially sway other Democrats to reconsider their stance on Trump and open up conversations about bipartisanship and unity in a deeply divided political climate. But I want to caution you about something, and that is just because you have some Democrats voting for Donald Trump doesn't mean these Democrats are going to become Republicans. Look at the case of Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard is not a Republican. She's going to serve in the Trump administration. She's endorsing Donald Trump. She's helping him in the campaign big time. And it's clear when she speaks that she's on the same page as Donald Trump. But will she become a Republican? Probably not. And that's why I respect her. Now, the fact that Amir Ghalib hails from Wayne County, which is a Democrat stronghold, adds another layer of intrigue to his story. You know, his endorsement of Trump goes against the grain of his constituents and could have far-reaching implications for his political career. He never would have been elected mayor of Hamtramck, Michigan, if he had tried to run as a Republican. I mean, of course, it takes a lot of courage to swim against the tide, especially in such a polarized environment, which it is. And Ghalib's willingness to do so speaks to his integrity and conviction. Now, the Democrat Party has been quick to distance itself from Ghalib's endorsement, of course. And party leaders have emphasized that his views don't reflect the values of the party as a whole. But as we've come to realize recently, the Democrat Party has no values. None whatsoever. They'll tell you anything you want to hear to get elected to office, to hold on to power. The Democrat Party is incredibly corrupt. Corrupt so that they put banana republics to shame. So you got a lot of Democrats who view Mayor Ghalib's endorsement as a betrayal of the party and its core principles. And so at this point, I'd have to wish Mayor Ghalib, if he is eligible for re-election as mayor, good luck. And then you've got early voting underway in some locations. And election day less than 6 weeks away. Who knows how much difference it makes each time a Democrat comes out in support of Trump and then denounces the Democrat Party's current path. All things to be considered. But the fact that he's mayor of a town of about 28,000 people, small town, that's small town America, Hamtramck, but it's an important town. It's a manufacturing town. I know for many, many years they built transmissions for General Motors vehicles in Hamtramck. Huge plant, drove by it one time. And, you know, his influence, his political influence on a wide scale is probably not all that big. Again, Hamtramck being about 28,000 people. But it's big enough to be heard, and that's the important part in this case. Let the games begin. House Republican leaders unveiled a short-term measure to fund the government through December 20th. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. The stopgap measure, and that's exactly what it is, just a stopgap measure, is largely a clean continuing resolution. This means it's a measure without partisan or controversial bill writers attached, thank God. Although it does include additional funding for the Secret Service. Now, the bill was introduced 8 days ago before the September 30th deadline to fund the government and avoid a government shutdown. So we still have a week, a very tenuous week. But Mike Johnson, House Speaker, said in a letter to colleagues that a continuing resolution is the only option that remains to prevent a government shutdown due to the Senate's failure to pass any of the year's 12 appropriations bills. Well, last week, the House rejected a bill to continue to fund the government into March, and that included a Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, what they call the SAVE Act. I like that. Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. I wonder how much time it took to think that one up. Anyhow, the SAVE Act would require proof of citizenship to register to vote, which, of course, I wholeheartedly approve. You know, I gave 4 years of my life in defense of my country from 1968 through 1972. I served in the Air Force. I did not want to have to put my career, my radio career, on hold to serve in the armed forces for 4 years. That was the last thing I wanted to do, but I didn't have any choice. I got drafted in the summer of 1968, so I ran. I didn't walk. I ran to the Air Force recruiter's office and signed up. Long story short, I managed to serve stateside my whole 4 years in the Air Force, and I was also able to continue my radio career on a part-time basis in my off-duty hours, which was very cool. Now, back to the issue at hand here. 14 Republicans joined 206 Democrats in voting against the bill. I would love to know the names of those 14 Republicans just for grins, because once again, this throws into that old Walt Kelly slogan from the old comic strip Pogo, "We have met the enemy and he is us." Because some Republicans rejected the measure outright, while others criticized the inclusion of the SAVE Act as largely for show, with no chance of becoming law or becoming implemented before Election Day. Okay, maybe they have a point, but just the same, I think it would show your true sentiments if you would support the SAVE Act. Now, Democrats described the six-month stopgap as punting the deadline too far into the future, and said the SAVE Act was unnecessary because laws on the books prohibit voting by illegal immigrants. Really? Well, unfortunately, in a lot of localities, there are laws that allow illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, let's call them what they are, to vote. Now, Minority Leader, this SOB, Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat out of New York, didn't give a firm position on whether Democrats would support this latest iteration of the resolution, saying in a statement that they would collectively evaluate the legislation when they return on September 23rd. Well, that was yesterday. So we'll see what happens. But, the Secret Service funding. Almost forgot about that. It's mostly clean, this stopgap measure. And it includes additional funding for the Secret Service. So what I don't understand, you know, if the Secret Service is failing in its mission, let's find out on what grounds it's failing and address that.
Well, we're failing. We need more money.
Okay, we'll get you the more money if you can come to me, put on my desk paperwork showing the areas that need the additional attention. I'm not just going to automatically throw you a huge pot of money to address an organization that obviously has some problems. That's like if I ran an airline and Boeing came to me and wanted to sell me more airplanes. I would have to tell them quite honestly, well, you might want to fix some of the problems you've been having with your aircraft. You know? So this particular resolution set aside an additional $231 million for the Secret Service beyond the $3 billion that the agency received for fiscal 2024. But this is how your government operates. The FBI right now wants how many trillion dollars? Or billion, I'm sorry. How many billion dollars to build a new FBI facility when they are as corrupt as the day is long? The FBI? You've got to be kidding. So where this legislation's concerned, it attaches conditions requiring the director of the Secret Service to present an itemized list describing how the funding is going to be used within 30 days of the bill's passage. It would also require speedier compliance with Congress requests for documents and information related to the assassination attempts against Donald Trump. So this is going to be very interesting to see. A five-year-old video of Kamala Harris touting her support for a fracking ban resurfaced on social media over the weekend. And it highlights an issue that has plagued her in her run for the White House. And I would play the video for you, or the audio from the video, but it's just got a music track behind it once again. And, you know, there's no point in it. Harris said during a September 2019 appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, a show I do not watch, can't stand it. Anyhow, she said, quote, climate change is the single greatest threat facing our world today. A bit overstated right there, don't you think? I think the fact that we're on the threshold of World War III is the single biggest threat facing our world today. But again, this was 2019. When Donald Trump was president and we were still at peace. She said, climate change is the single greatest threat facing our world today. That's why I'm committed to passing a Green New Deal. Remember, that was concocted by AOC and her buddies. Creating clean jobs and finally putting an end to fracking once and for all. Well, first of all, government can't create jobs. That's not government's job, and they can't create jobs. That's what really prolonged the Great Depression back in the 1930s. The fact that FDR, and you could love him, you can hate him, but the truth of the matter is FDR tried to create jobs. Now, out of the deal, we did get some courthouses all across the country, got some city halls, got some post offices, and we had some parks built. But it cost the nation. The nation went into further debt during the Great Depression to, quote, create, end quote, these jobs, like the Civilian Conservation Corps, the WPA, which was the Works Progress Administration. A lot of WPA buildings are still standing these days. He opened up the Tennessee Valley Authority. Those were jobs that were created. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing. What I'm saying, though, is it could have been handled a lot better. You could have shortened the Depression by two-thirds if you had just taken your hands, if the government had just taken its hands off of our economy and said, look, let's go back to the free enterprise system and let the system fix itself. And it would have. And we would have been out of the Great Depression perhaps by 1934, 35. But we really weren't out of the Great Depression until just moments before the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And even then, we weren't really out of the Depression, but we were certainly on a path that looked like we were going to be out of it soon. So then came World War II, and we had to finance World War II. You couldn't go to the movies in those days during World War II without seeing a little a little slide come up on the screen. Buy war bonds. So in addition to paying your taxes, you had to buy war bonds. And basically, when the war did end, thank God, we had a better world, yes, but we had a far more expensive world. To buy a new car prior to World War II, you could buy a new car for about $650. You could buy a Plymouth for $650 prior to World War II. After World War II, you couldn't find one for less than $1,200. So, yeah, big inflationary period that World War II caused. But we had no we had no choice. We had to fight that war. I mean, how could we not have fought that war? So Harris, who at the time was a California senator when she made that appearance on the show, and she was running for the Democrat nomination for president, touted her support for a ban on fracking. And at other points of the campaign, including a CNN town hall earlier in that same month, when she said there's no question that she was in favor of banning fracking. Well, after this recording, this video resurfaced over the weekend, Trump looked at it and he responded by saying, "Comrade Kamala just lost Pennsylvania." And I believe she did. She was also up in Michigan. What was it, over the weekend? And she did another town hall, and once again, somebody got up and asked, "Look, what is your specific plan?" And I remember he said, this gentleman asked, "What is your specific plan for fixing the economy?" And she started her answer the same way she did a week earlier with the little town hall thing she did with CNN in the interview. She said, "Well, I grew up a middle-class kid. I grew up in a neighborhood where people were proud of their lawns." In other words, the same answer. She has no plan. She has no plan for the economy. She has no plan for you or me or any other Americans. Her only plan is to say what you want to hear or say what she thinks you want to hear so that she has a shot at winning the election. These polls, by the way, that you're hearing about where she's neck and neck with Trump, bullcorn. It's all bullcorn. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and the return of Kellen Erskine.
If you work for Apple or Android, would you stop improving the phones? I think we did it. We can do stuff on phones that we never even dreamed to ask for. You can wave your phone in front of a vending machine and it'll give you chips. I didn't see that in Back to the Future 2. You can post a sentence to the world and make yourself permanently unhireable. We have... I think we've covered it. I just wish these companies would now pool all of their resources together and finally create an unbreakable phone. How has that not been the priority these last 15 years that I've been trying to hold on to a $1,000 computer that's shaped like a slippery bar of soap? Also, Apple, if you're still listening, could you put little arms and legs on my phone so the next time I drop it between the car seats, they can crawl back out to me? I don't understand how we're at a point with technology that cars can drive themselves. We are living in the future, but they still all come with that gap like it's on purpose. Big enough for your phone, too small for your hand. You ever tried retrieving anything? It's scary. Like, I don't know. I've seen regular chairs, but car seats, they're made out of, like, knives and stuff. Ford is like, "You drop your phone, you're going to earn it back." Indiana Jones. You ever dropped your phone down there when you were really relying on it? Like, for directions? You immediately transform into that. You know that character in movies who they haven't prayed since they were a child? You're just like, "Hey, Siri, I don't know if you can hear me. But if you're there, I really need you right now. I don't know where I'm going. Sorry about a couple of things I've said to you.
Have a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. You know we will. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.